Today is January 31st, 2010, the year of our Lord, at Zion Baptist Church, 10 o'clock service, and we are continuing our study on the New Testament church and church discipline, something that's kind of new to us. And, you know, I was thinking this week that there are some other churches that I know, their preachers that are trying to learn the doctrines of grace, and the Lord has enlightened them to the truth like He has us, and they also are growing. I need to talk to their preachers also and ask them what they're doing about church discipline. Have they come that far yet as to consider maybe a new covenant and maybe churching some people who are walking disorderly, withdrawing fellowship from them, those kind of things? What are they doing about that? What are they doing about what the Scripture says about church discipline to see if they've come, how far they've come? Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, I believe, is our Scripture reading. Verse 10, Ezekiel 43, verse 10 is the Scripture that we're reading for this part of the Bible study. And I want to try to get as far along this morning as I can with this. Don't know how far we'll do. Our time's going to be, I tell you now, don't expect to get out of here at 12 o'clock today for lunch. I mean, time we give the charge, have the Lord's Supper, do the baptism, we'll just forget the 12 o'clock deal. We're not having evening service this evening, so we got all day. No need for you to be in a hurry to get away from here. Ezekiel 43, beginning verse 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. Now that's pretty plain to me, that he's telling Ezekiel, and of course Ezekiel in the 43rd chapter is writing about the end time church, which is us. And so, he's plainly telling them to show the house of God to his people so that they might know what the ordinance is, what the laws are, what the rules are of the church. So, not just so they'll know them, but so they'll know them that they may do them. And we have fallen far short of that in our past. But that's no excuse, and I'm not making excuses here. I'm just saying that it's time for us to learn what we are supposed to be doing and begin doing those things. I'll take all the blame. It's my fault. I've been here 12 years, and we're just now beginning to learn some of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Especially concerning the discipline of those members that walk disorderly. You cannot just ignore that. I don't care if every church in the world ignores it. We cannot. You cannot just ignore what the Scripture says and what they did in the early church about people who claim to be born-again Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, who have voluntarily yielded themselves to the church to come under the ordinances of the church, the covenant of the church, and under the admonition of the church, to give themselves up to the church, to one another. You just can't ignore those things. And so, we'll ignore them no more. Now, I want to go back just a little bit. Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. We went over several scriptures that some people use for excommunication, we'll call it, of church members that should not be used for excommunication. Titus 3:10 is one of those verses. And I may have read it to you, but I didn't give a good enough explanation, so we're going to run over this real quickly this morning. And Titus comes just before Hebrews, Philemon, and Hebrews, and Titus, the third chapter, verse 10. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. Now, a heretic is someone that is teaching false doctrines. A heretic means someone that is teaching doctrine or instructions or things that are contrary to established truths of the church. That's what the dictionary says. Okay, so that's what Strong says. That's what it is. Someone is teaching false doctrines or doctrines that are contrary to established truths of the church. And so this is a heretic. Now, some people use this in order to excommunicate people from the church. But this should not be used. This is a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, and he's telling Titus, he's giving Titus instructions. It is though Titus had been communicating with this man, and this man was a heretic. He was teaching false teaching, and Titus could not convince him to stop it. And so Paul tells Titus, he doesn't tell the church, he tells Titus, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. This should not be used for excommunication by the church. Everywhere excommunication or to withdraw fellowship from a church member is done by the church. Everywhere that it's mentioned in the scriptures is done by the church, not by a preacher, not by a elder or anybody in the church, either extraordinary person as an apostle or a evangelist or anybody else. It's always done by the church as a whole, because a person is received by the church by consent of the whole church and voluntarily, and so they are excommunicated the same way by the whole church, not by any one person. So I wanted to make that clear. Let's see. 3 John, maybe will help clarify this a little bit. 3 John, it's right before Jude. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now you see what John is doing here. John was such a beloved apostle of Christ. He was, well, they were all beloved, and they were all wonderful, but John, if you read the Gospel of John, you can tell John wrote about the spiritual things about Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote about his physical self, what he did when he was young and what he did as he grew older. The first thing John said was, in the beginning was the Word. He talks about the deity of Christ and the spiritual things. And here, John is telling about this character called Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, Paul says. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. In other words, Diotrephes was a member of the church that he wrote to. And he loved to have the preeminence. He loved to be the head of the church. He loved to sit in the high seats and everybody do obeisance to him. or to regard him as being the brightest, the smartest, the best looking, and all the other things. He wanted to run the church. You've been in churches where you've seen among them, receiveth us not, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, among the church, receiveth us not. John says, he don't receive my words. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. In other words, he's telling, that's no man's job. No one person casts anybody out of the church, because no one man receives anybody into the church. And so, I just wanted to make that clear. Let's see, we'll get to these others. The rules concerning coming into the church, we mentioned some of those, meaning that I'm going to go over these again real quickly. The doors are not set wide open for anyone to come in at their pleasure. There must be no strangers in the church as far as when the tabernacle was open. There could be no strangers, no uncircumcised people, and those kind of people. So the doors of the church are not thrown open for membership now, I'm talking about, for just anybody to become a member. They must show works of repentance. They must show that there's been a work of grace done in them. You can't just say, make a profession of faith and say, I believe Lord Jesus walked upon the earth. Would you folks have me as a member? You got to know how they walk, their manner of living, that there is some grace, work of grace in them, and that they walk orderly, and that they are willing to abide by the covenant of the church, or a covenant that we all agree with, hopefully soon. And the laws and the rules and the commandments of Christ and the doctrines, that they're willing to walk in that. And not that they're willing, but that they do. And so, persons should voluntarily propose themselves to the church. We're not out soliciting for members. We're not trying to get people to come into church. That's what's the matter now. What's wrong with all these churches that you go to today? They have solicited and built gymnasiums and puppet shows and quartets and high and mighty football players and you name it, every kind of person and people trying to get them to grow. You don't find that anywhere in the scriptures where people are out trying to get people to join their church. They ought to propose themselves to the church for church membership and that of their own free will. They do that. It's an act of their own, not by force or persuasion from others. You do that, you're going to get a whole bunch of people that you wish you didn't have, and it's going to be troublemakers. Let's look real quick at Acts 9:26. You have to go by what examples that we have in the Scriptures. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went down to the man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Am I reading in the right place? No. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. That's scripture I meant to read. Now see, they wouldn't have him. They wouldn't accept him into the church because they didn't know him. They didn't know his manner of living. And what manner of living they did know about Paul, they didn't want him. And wouldn't have him. Rejected him. So, satisfaction must be given as to a work of grace upon the soul. Saul's a good example of that. The way of entrance into the church is by a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so man comes to the church requesting to be a member or to join, to be a part of the church. Then he comes on a profession of his faith that he has been born again by the Spirit of God. it is necessary that such who enter into the church should have knowledge of the truths of the gospel. In other words, they're not ignorant of the truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that He is our Savior, that He is our Redeemer, that His righteousness has been imputed to us, and that our sins were put upon Him, and He bore the wrath of His Father's punishment for our sins. The truths of the gospel, simple things. You know how it used to be. You know how we used to do here, and how every Baptist church that we know anything about today, I'm talking about modern-day Baptist churches, you know how they do now. They could care less if they... Most of the preachers don't know the truths of the gospel. And they just let them in. Did you accept Jesus, your first Savior? Yeah. What's the wishes of the church? Oh, yeah. Just take them in. They don't know nothing. Allowances should be made for weaknesses and infirmities of men, both in their gracious experiences and in their gospel light and the knowledge that they have. I'm not saying that everybody has to know every doctrine of the Scriptures and is going to be perfect in everything that they do. I'm not saying that. There should be allowances made for people's weaknesses and infirmities. If everybody had to be perfect, we wouldn't be anybody in here, would they? We'd all be churched. Testimony should be given of their life and their manner of conversation. In other words, if someone wants to be a member of the church, there should be some other member of the church that can testify, yes, I will vouch for him that he is a man of God, that he does walk according to the Scriptures. I know him personally. He will attend. He will come to church. He will be at the services. He will support the services. He will pray for the brethren. He's that kind of person. I know him. That's what Barnabas did. When they wouldn't take Paul or Saul in the church at Jerusalem, Barnabas had to stand up and say, "Whoa, wait, I know him. I know him to be a preacher of the gospel. I know him to be a man of faith." And upon the word of Barnabas, they received him. And so it should be with us today. A reception of a church member into communion is by mutual consent by all the members, or all the members that would be there at the time. The church must readily receive those who have shown a work of grace in their life into the church, and they must receive them voluntarily. They must receive them with much joy and gladness and support and prayer, and in every way possible, make them a part of the assembly. Secondly, to consider the ordinances, the laws and the rules that are to be kept and observed by those who are admitted into the church. There are ordinances of the church. There are laws, there are rules that we are to live by and to go by, and those must be explained to church members or to people that are proposing themselves to the church for church membership so that they know. Our church covenant is now this one right here on the wall. I have said several times that we don't agree with this church covenant in its entirety. There are some very good points here. I've not had a one of you to object to that. And I would think if I was a member of a church and the preacher said, "I don't agree with the church covenant," and I did agree with it, I would tell him, "Hey, I agree with it, preacher. What's the problem?" I'd at least have some discussion with him. So I am only assuming that you also have some problems with the church covenant, that you do not agree with everything that this one says. But it is our church covenant now. So before any members would become members, they would have to agree with what we use as a church covenant until we as a church agree to revise it or to adopt another church covenant that we do agree with. You understand what I'm saying? If you have any problems with this after services or whenever, you're going to have to speak up, because I can only do what I believe the Scripture's teaching. And you know me, that's what I'm going to do. till you run me off or shoot me or something. And so these ordinances and these laws must be explained, must be voluntarily kept, such as public prayer and praise, worship, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together should be explained, because I'm telling you now, that is one of the things that would cause a person to be excommunicated from the church, is non-regular attendance at church services. When we come together to worship, church members should be here. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, church members should be here. In the old days, in the early churches, and in the early churches of this country, if you were missing the Lord's Supper, you were about to be visited by church members. And you better have a good reason why you wasn't there. You did not miss the ordinance of the church of coming to the Lord's table. That was a no-no. You just didn't do it. That's how important it was, and how important it is today. Even though it's not to most churches and has not been to us. But these things ought to be done. And the breaking of bread and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, as often as you eat this bread, which shows that it should be done often and should be attended to by the members of the church. Also, the laws, when we read there in Ezekiel 43, it talks about the laws of the house. Well, what are the laws of the church? Every commandment that's in the Bible. Every commandment that Christ gave. Every commandment that His apostles gave. And did He not require us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? That doesn't mean just when you desire to come or when you want to come or every now and then you can come. He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What else did Jesus say? What was the new commandment that Jesus gave, the new law that He gave? To love your neighbor as yourself. To love one another, Jesus said. He said, that's how people will know that you are my disciples, is for your love one for another. That's a law in the church. You must love one another. And not in word only, but in word and in deed. You can't love someone in word only. That's very evident. Jesus said, if you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. So that in itself shows you that you cannot love other church members in word only. It must be in word and in deed. So there are laws, the laws of Christ, the law of love, the new commandment that Christ gave. All the other commandments of the apostles and duties that fall upon church members. Certain rules respecting private admonitions of church members. As you read through the scriptures and as we go through Acts, you'll see more and more, and you'll hopefully will recognize more and more how church members were admonished, exhorted, and rebuked both publicly and privately. Every offense is not to be received as excommunication or to withdraw fellowship from a person. You know, the Bible says not to be easily offended. So anybody that's offended in word is not a reason to excommunicate someone. Matter of fact, there's a rule in the Bible in Matthew that tells how to deal with that. If your brother offends you, go to him. Try to work it out with him. If your brother has aught against you, go to him. Try to work it out with him. That's a brother or a neighbor. It doesn't matter. They're both interchangeable. Don't try to play on word games here. Brother or neighbor, same word can be interchanged. And so, and then if he won't receive you or if he won't work out the difference, then you take two or three brethren with you. And you go and see them, or two or three neighbors with you. And go to your neighbor and try to work it out. You have to do what the scripture says. Those are part of the laws and part of the rules that we're talking about here that must be done. Okay, how far can we get today? Moving right along. Matthew 18:15-17 is the scripture that I'm talking about. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, it tells you what to do. And so, see, that's a personal thing. That's not an offense against the church. That's an offense against a person in the church. It's not an offense against the church. An offense against the church is something that is walking disorderly or committing a grievous crime against humanity. You know, he's dishonoring Christ and the church by his manner of living. He won't come to church. He won't pray with the brethren. He won't come to the Lord's table. Those are reasons for excommunication. He's running wild and drinking and being seen all over the country doing ungodly things and bringing shame and reproach upon the name of Christ by calling himself a Christian and living ungodly. That's the time that you put church discipline into effect and withdraw fellowship from them. You're not removing their soul from the Lamb's Book of Life. You didn't put it in there. You can't take it out. All you're doing is, only thing you can do to a person in excommunication is what you did to them when you received them. And all you did was receive them as brethren or as members of the assembly. So the only thing you can do is withdraw that from them and not allow them to come to the Lord's table, like the Scripture says. And it's not out of hatred or meanness or being ugly. It's out of love to bring shame upon them and to also to restore honor to the church and to the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that the church does not agree with. You remember how Paul got on to the church at Corinth in the 5th chapter there because they didn't take business into hand and do what they were supposed to concerning the young man who was sleeping with his father's wife. So that in itself ought to show us that, hey, when people are doing ungodly, disorderly things and calling themselves members of the church and born-again Christians, it's our responsibility to do something, not just turn our heads and ignore it and act like there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, we'll go over Matthew 18 a little more at a later time. I don't want to run over because we got a lot to do today, but I hope you're taking all this in. Everybody got everything I've said so far? You've stored it up here in your files? Got it? Everybody? No problems with it. I hadn't heard an amen or an oh me, so I guess we're going okay. Either that or you hadn't heard a word I said. Okay, thirdly, this is called the putting away or the going out of, the Bible calls it, the house or the church of God. And what may be meant by them when we're talking about excommunication, they are but two ways of going out of the church. One is by what they call dismission or being dismissed because a person moves away. And he's at another his locality, and it's not convenient for him to travel, maybe in another state or too far to travel. And so, therefore, he requests to be dismissed from this assembly so that he can become a part of another assembly. And sometimes that requires a letter to be written by the church to say that this person is in good standing with the church, is honorable, good member, so that the other church may receive him. Another church is not supposed to receive a person upon a letter from another church unless he's in good standing with that church. If he's not in good standing with that church, he is to go back and get things right with that church. Then they'll send a letter. Have you heard of that ever being done in our lifetime? No, sir. If they get mad at the preacher or deacons or anybody, just go down the road to the next church down and they'll send a letter saying, we want that guy's letter. You better know they won't do that such trash here. No, sir. Now, what if they don't agree with the doctrine that's being taught? That's reason for them to ask for dismissal. And reason for the church to give them dismissal. I mean, if they don't agree with the doctrine that's being taught, they have a right to ask the church to dismiss them so they can go to church where they can hear the true preaching of the Word of God. And it ought to be given to them. The other way of leaving the church or going out of the church is by excommunication, they call it. He's excommunicated out of the church. And so, there are letters of recommendation that were and examples in the church. Apollos had to have a letter of recommendation, or he got one. Don't know that he needed it, but he got one. Paul didn't need them. You remember, he said very plainly in 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, I don't need your letters of recommendation. Don't have to have them. Don't want them. Care if you recommend me or not. He was an apostle of Christ. He didn't have to have letters of recommendation. Let's see. Have we got time to look at those? We might as well. We're not going to get much further than this this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:1. I cannot skip all of these scriptures and try to teach what the Bible says that we're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 3:1. Now, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, do we need letters of recommendation from other churches to you, or do we need letters of recommendation from you to other churches? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul is saying, we don't need letters from you or for you from other churches. Let's look at Acts 18:27. Apollos did. Acts 18:27. Verse 26 says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Verse 24 says, and a certain Jew named Apollos. So that was Apollos, and he did need letters of recommendation from Phoebe, and got them. let's see. Romans 16, and we'll have to close with this one. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae. I believe I said that right. Cenchreae, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So Phoebe is taking this letter to the Romans, the church at Rome. Phoebe is taking the letter, and so Paul sends his recommendations or commendations with her and tells the church, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Now see, Paul tells where she's from, what church she's from. She's a member of a church. Now, there are some folks that come to church here who are not members here. That's all I'll say about that. You see, Paul tells where Phoebe was a member of the church. Do you find anywhere in the Scriptures that it's okay to be a Christian and not attend where you're a member? Can you show me that in the Scriptures? That's all I'll say about that. That you receive her in the Lord, because she's from the church at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints. And see, there's some more learning here that the church ought to do besides just excommunication. When brothers or sisters that come from out of town come into town, they didn't put them up at the local hotel, which would be fine if that's where they would rather stay and you had the means to do that. But what did they do? They took them in. And Paul's telling them, you take Phoebe in when she gets there, and don't just take her in, but you provide for her whatever she needs, any kind of business stuff that she needs to tend to business, you help her. You provide for her because she has helped many. That's what the word succorer means. Means that she has helped many of the saints. And Paul says, and me also she's helped. So you help her when she gets there. You take care of her. You see that she's got what she needs when she gets there. Oh, it paints a whole different picture, doesn't it, of how our lives are supposed to be. You see, our comfort and our convenience is not an issue here, is it, in the Scriptures? The comfort and the convenience of others is an issue here, not of ourselves. We're to be put out. We are to put up with other people. We're to put up with them. We're to put them up. And we're to be inconvenienced so that they might be convenienced when they're traveling from out of town or whatever. You certainly don't let them stay somewhere and have to spend their money spending the night somewhere when you've got room and plenty for them. All that's going to be is a little inconvenience to you for them to stay with you. And that's the way it ought to be. Okay, we'll have to close there. My goodness, this is getting good to me. Such learning we do. Oh, me. Okay. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us as we...